Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, fellow Earthbound explorers, to a new episode of Hidden Mysteries. If you're like me and wonder what it's all about, what's it all about, Alfie, then you're in the right place. I'm Mimi, your host for this evening, and this is August 1st, 2018, coming to you from the New York area. My co-host, Reverend Maria, is still out on sabbatical, but you can still get in touch with her at 631-559-1248 to schedule your personal session with her. Maria is an internationally known psychic from Budapest, Hungary, a European shaman and a published author, as well as a spiritual life coach and a public speaker on spiritual, psychic, and paranormal topics. You can also get her at her website, mariadeandrea.com, or use the links below our show's description here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm a writer, videographer, and avid researcher on the paranormal and the spiritual, and have produced segments on these topics for over 15 years. Check out mquestmedia.com for other programs like this one, and drop me an email on suggestions for topics for upcoming shows. So I've received many requests from listeners who have inquired about the subject, which makes me think that perhaps the material that's out there right now is just not satisfying the human mind. I've often been asked what's the difference between a ghost and a spirit, and I feel that we all tend to get so hung up on labels to such an extent that it only creates yet more confusion. Now, I can only go by my own perspective on this subject, which basically everyone has anyway, so take what resonates with you. The word ghost and the word ghost has always been used in connection to hauntings, Halloween, and everything that goes bump in the night. Some believe that ghosts can only be earthbound spirits who haven't crossed over yet. As usual, I always find the labels that the human race places on things to be restricting and never gets anyone the answers they really need. The important key to all of this is that we are all born with free will and leave with our free will intact when we leave the body. Therefore, it has a choice to transition swiftly or remain here. Funerals, for instance, brings you face to face with those burning questions we have about the dead. The body is set up like an altar in a way at the farthest point in the room, drawing your focus as you walk in. A mixture of feelings swirl around you from fear, curiosity to sadness, fear separation, along with a host of religious components if you have such leanings. The reason why I'm so drawn to it personally is that I'm looking for a confirmation of sorts. Is there anybody left inside? And each time I come away with the same sense that nobody's home anymore. The body's a mere shell, a used vehicle, left behind, and now unnecessary because of the type of journey that lies ahead. It's so obvious that without the spirit, the body is hollow, the spirit giving it expression and personality. So I have a couple of callers right now on the line who have some questions about this subject, and I'm going to bring them up right now, bring them on live. These are both 718 numbers. And who am I speaking with? I have two callers on the line at one time just so, you know, we can communicate back and forth. So who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Angie.
Hi, Angie. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Staten Island.
Oh, okay. And I have another caller who's also from the 718 number. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Yes, I also hear you as well. I am calling from Staten Island. And I must say, I know this is the Staten Island group today for some reason, because I know you get other callers from Brooklyn and Queens and Tahiti and all them other places. But, you know, I know that you have been in other shows, like the Home Invaders Variety Show, and you've been great on that as well. You show a lot of knowledge, and it's a pleasure to watch you on that show as well, besides the host that does that. But it's a pleasure, and I'm sure he has enough time, because I enjoy the fact that you guys talk about the same thing when it comes to moving the spirituality.
Well, you know, it's interesting that I have two callers from Staten Island, because Staten Island is one of the biggest paranormally active places, I feel, you know, along with certain other areas that, the moment I moved out here in 2001, I could sense it. Everywhere you go, you just feel a very high level of psychic energy out here.
But what makes it so special about Staten Island? What happened here that implicated so much of that?
Well, I mean, the one thing that always comes to mind is that there was we had a big experience during the American Revolution, and a lot occurred on Staten Island, especially since we are basically near the water that separates us from New Jersey, and a lot of soldiers, British soldiers, and have made their way into Staten Island via the waterways there, right into the place there, the house that's right
Mariner's
there.
Harbor.
Not Mariner's Harbor, but the house. God, and it's funny. It's like I'm forgetting the name of the place, and I did a documentary there one time. But there's a house that was owned by a loyalist there at one point. I think it's the Billup House, and they were certainly loyalists that allowed a lot of the British soldiers to come over, you know, probably stay there at the house as well. And they moved through Staten Island going after Washington when Washington was going into Manhattan and other places. So this is a bit of a hotbed of paranormal activity. I think one of the reasons, because of all that emotional energy that was, you know, created because of that time frame.
Now, that makes sense.
Do you think that the reason why spirits stay here is because they haven't finished what they started? They don't think that they're dead, or they just want to stay here because they want to try to feel as alive as possible?
Well, I think there's many, many different reasons. I don't believe like there's one resolution to everything. You know, just like every person is different. Every person's experience, even after they move out of the physical body, is going to be different. So I know that there are different reasons why there may be a haunting, for example. There are, you know, traumatic episodes in life, you know, that accidents that occur at the last minute, like gunshot wounds that instantly kill a person, or, you know, torturous events that leaves that being disoriented and terrified. And some may not even know that they're actually dead at that point. So there could be that component where you're just thrown out of your body almost at a moment's notice, and you just don't know. It's like you weren't ready for it. And I think that the mere, you know what I think? It's like, you know how people have an illness where they may linger for a while. I think in a way that helps that the spirit in that body to get used to the fact that they're going to be leaving. So I think they leave a little more, leave at a better rate than ones that are thrown out traumatically at, you know, during, you know, a murder or something like that, or a car crash. So at the very least, they start to get used to the fact that they know that they're about to, you know, leave very shortly. So when they do leave, they may not linger, you know, as much as somebody who's, you know, thrown out of their body so quickly. And, there may be others where hauntings may not be just of a deceased individual, but could also be a catastrophic event, like we were talking about the American Revolution, but also like the Gettysburg battlefield in Pennsylvania, where all those soldiers lost their lives in 1863 during, you know, a battle between the Confederates and the Union armies. And they're sort of like locked in a time loop, and mainly because of the emotional energy that lingers on that site for decades. Just like a murder in a house may linger for many years old or many years on. You know, emotion is the driving force of everything on Earth anyway. So that emotion is going to be part of us even when we leave. So there's so many different reasons. And another reason could be because a person might have feel so much guilt and their beliefs of what's going to await them when they go to the afterlife may be so frightening, such a frightening prospect that they may just, like, stay here because they don't want to meet what they think they're going to be met with, you know, like hell or something like that. So that could also be a component. So there's so many different reasons behind it. I just think, like, the word ghost is merely a word that people used back when, you know, when they were just trying to get people scared and frightened, you know, by, you know, doing movies on ghosts and, books on horror, you know. So I think the word ghost got coined with all of that, all that scary, you know. But everything is spirit anyway. So to me, I think the word ghost is an overkill of the situation. So, but do you have anything else you wanted to ask me?
Have you ever personally experienced anything that was a haunting or going into somewhere and having that feeling like, oh, my God, there's something here and it's not me?
Yeah, years ago I worked on the Intrepid Museum, and I was there for like a couple of years, and this is way before they renovated the place, and
mm-hmm.
everybody who worked on that ship got to go behind the scenes, you know, to get the movie projectors put together, to get the exhibits put together, so we got to see a lot of areas that were not renovated, still had rubble. You could see the rusted ropes tied up in, you know, in certain areas of the ship. I was in a room doing video work in the cryptology room, and you could just feel the overall sense of what life might have been like. And there was a certain area in the ship that every time I would walk into, my peripheral vision, I can sometimes pick up like images or bodies pass, you know, people passing, and you know, on the side as I'm walking. And I swear there were times when I would see something moving and I turn around and nothing there. Of course, it's just made me want to run quickly, do what I had to do, and get the hell out. But it was just like an area where there were soldiers who were supposed to have been doing, like, communication work. I think that was the area that I frequently went into. So, and they had, like, little cubicle areas, like part that were just, like, closed, you know, like each one was, like, a cubicle closed off so that each one had their own little space to do whatever work they had to do. And I'm telling you, those were the areas where I felt there was something there. And my mother, who was very psychic, years ago she went to the Intrepid, you know, museum to, you know, visit it. And she said she saw, you know, spirits of people, of soldiers all over the place. And I know my mother's been, like, psychic all her life, so I tend to believe the things that she said, especially after, you know, what I experienced. So that was one place that I went to. Have either of you had any experiences along those lines?
I had a couple. I had one in Queens when I was a kid. I was maybe, I don't know, 12, 13 years old. And my mother was asleep. And I went to the bathroom, and I took a bath. So I came out like maybe a half an hour later. And I went to say goodnight to her. And she looks up at me, and she says, "Were you just here?" And I was like, "No, I was in the bathroom." She said, "Stop playing with me." And I'm like, "No, seriously, I've been in the bathroom for like half an hour." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because I was under the covers. I had my face down. I'm under the covers. And I felt like somebody had stepped on the bed and then got off and then got on again.
Yeah.
And then the other foot came around the other side of me, and they were rocking back and forth. And then one foot got off, the other foot got off, and then there was nothing."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm totally freaked out by this because I think she's playing. Mm-hmm. And then I look at her face and I'm like, "No, this woman is dead serious."
It's terrible.
Pardon
the
pun, but she was dead serious.
Yeah.
And I'm swearing to her, "Mom, it wasn't me." And it was so bad. We were like looking around trying to figure out if somebody got in the house. And it was impossible. There was only one way into the apartment, so there was no way anyone had gotten into the house. We were alone. My father's at work, and we were both freaked out by this, and we had a hard time going back to bed. So it was, I guess, like a poltergeist kind of thing, because there was a physical manifestation that she may not have seen because she was under the covers, or it may not have had a physical form, but she physically felt this presence pushing down, and she swore it was me. And I'm like, I just came out of the bathroom. It's impossible.
You know, it's so funny that you said that, because I had a similar occurrence some years ago in one of my last apartments, and it happened late at night in the bedroom. I don't know what it is about these spirits. They seem to like to bother you when you're in bed. And all of a sudden, I was like starting to feel like this, like something touching down on my bed. And I was like, at first I was like saying, oh, I must be, you know, hallucinating or something like that. But then all of a sudden it started to get heavier and heavier. Well, after that, when the heaviness started, and there was nobody else in the room except, you know, maybe one of my cats just sleeping on the opposite side of the bed, and he wasn't moving. He was like asleep. And I bolted up and ran out of the room, threw on the lights, threw on the TV, threw on the radio. I wasn't going back into that room for a long time. So it scared the hell out of me. But, yeah, it, because some people do have the ability to see the spiritual or the physical manifestation of it, and some people just will either hear, or some people will just feel maybe the physical manifestation of what they're doing. So it comes
sister,
to people in different ways.
I'm sorry. My nephew, when he was a kid, he could see spirits. I mean, he could be right next to you and go, oh, there's something right over there. My sister and her husband thought that he was, well, they were very religious, and they thought he was possessed, or it was demons, which, of course, was ludicrous, and demons possessing him and causing him to see these things. Well, they ended up taking him to a psychiatrist, and after having to deal with that kind of nonsense over this, because it was nonsense, the child could just see what he could see. He learned to shut it off. He shut his ability to see off, because he was being, well, basically psychologically tortured by them, because they kept making his life a living hell. And it was a shame, because, and they didn't tell anybody in the family about it. I found out about it when he was grown, and it was just a shame that happened to him. But, yeah, he could literally physically see, but by the time he was like 9 years old, he had stopped because he just couldn't deal with it anymore, which is really sad. But, yeah, I've known a few people who had that ability.
Yeah, I know, like, for instance, I went to Lizzie Borden House a few years ago. By the way, this is Hidden Mysteries, in case you're just tuning in. We're talking about the topic of ghosts and what they are, and we're sharing some of our experiences. And I was staying overnight at the Lizzie Borden House. And, you know, as it is, they were doing a paranormal investigation, you know, on the site, you know. So there was a component of the fact that we were sort of like getting a little, you know, a little frightened before we even went to bed. However, I have this sensor that's really, I mean, I can sense when something's around me. So while I was like sleeping, and I think it was in Lizzie's sister's room, Emma Borden, and I was sleeping in there, and all through the night, I kept on feeling something touching my head. And naturally, it was hard for me to get to sleep. Yeah, and I had a friend who was in the next room, in Lizzie's room, and she said she felt and she heard and felt sounds all night long in her room. It wasn't anywhere else. It was just in her room. So she also didn't get very much sleep. I don't know if it could have been Lizzie or anybody of the family. I mean, you know, it's hard to know, you know, what the circumstances are, who these beings might be. And then we also had an EVP reading, which was really interesting, because at one point when they were doing a paranormal investigation, somebody stayed out in the hall as we were doing the investigation in one of the rooms there, And all of a sudden, the person out in the hall heard like a baby crying. But nobody in our room heard it. And she told the investigator, and the investigator listened to the audio tape afterwards just to see if there was anything on it. And he heard a baby crying on there. Nobody else heard it, but the person out in the hall, and it got caught on the recording on for the EVP. So after doing research, my friend had said that she found out that that property has a history of a lot of negative traumatic events that have occurred. Other murders occurred there prior to Lizzie and a family coming there, and that there had been a mother who had postpartum depression after giving birth, and she killed her baby. So this baby might have been what she heard.
It kind of makes you wonder if the reason why those negative things may have happened there was because it was some kind of negative energy that was influencing the people who ended up living there.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like whatever it was just influencing them and caused them to commit these horrendous acts.
Yes, because, you know, when you're very sensitive and psychic, you pick up on these energies very easily. So that's why there are times when you have to guard against it, because then you start to feel the emotions of how these negative energies are reacting on you. So you might feel depressed, or you might feel like the world's coming to an end. Your life, there's nothing worth living for. I mean, all these components could be from the environment that you're living in, and not from yourself. You know, you're not creating it, but you may be so sensitive to it, and a lot of people who are psychic are extremely sensitive to it. Like my family, my mother, my sister, and I, we were very sensitive, and we picked up on a lot of stuff when we were living in this place in Brooklyn, in Crown Heights. That place was, like, rampant with negative energy and haunt. I mean, there was spirits all the time there. I mean, it was like, you know, we could have just had a revolving open door policy there. They probably would have just walked. We couldn't do anything about it, like tell them to go away. They would have just come in anyway. So, you can become very. And I happen to, you know, doing research on Lizzie Borden. Lizzie had a lot of emotional problems as it was, and a lot. I think a lot of it, especially since it was the Victorian era. You know, women were very, you know, socially restricted. A lot of repression, especially sexually, and you had to follow the male law about everything, and then there was the fact that, you know, a woman who had her period at that time, you know what we went through having our period in society now.
Oh yeah, and still in a lot of societies they consider you unclean and you can't touch the food, you can't be around the men.
Well, it was mainly because of the emotional, you know, you go through a lot of hormonal imbalances due to it. And I'm sure that Lizzie might have been going through that during the time when she just, like, let loose and, you know,
that's possible,
killed both of the parents.
Because there are medical studies that have proven there is what they call, I believe it's called extreme PMS. And it's a form of PMS that is so strong that a lot of times doctors will actually prescribe, I guess you'd say depressives or something like something to the effect of like a Valium to straighten out the person's actual emotional well-being as well as treating them with hormones, because you just get so out of whack. That it's, you look at someone and go, why couldn't you be taller? And you have no control over it, and it can be very extreme. There have been cases where women have attacked their husbands or whatever under the throes of that because they literally just couldn't help themselves. Hormonally, they were shot. So possibly, maybe, I agree with you, perhaps that's what between the repression, the environment, the cultural mores of the society at that time, as well as the way the condition she was living in emotionally in the household. It's perfectly possible that all of that came to a head, and we didn't know anything about PMS back then.
Definitely.
Blamed everything on, quote unquote, female hysteria, end quote.
Yeah, seeing the weaker sex naturally that occurs. You know, they're emotional, so therefore they're going to feel it the most. and they're going to act out on those emotions. And and then in that time period, they were looking for ways of helping women. I mean, I have to agree that they came up with like bath therapy, but I heard in different ways that it was either, you know, therapeutic, or they actually would like soak you down with water. You know, I heard it in different ways. So I don't see how, you know, soaking them, like almost drowning them, is going to help them. But having baths, yes, I mean, that certainly can calm and soothe a person, especially since nobody bathed that much anyway in those days. And I think that was another problem. When you bathe, you at least let go of a lot of stress in your body and a lot of other things that are going on in your system. So, you know, that was another thing, that was the component that was missing from that time period.
Oh, Lord. That's
That makes a lot of sense, but it's, oof, that's creepy. Particularly, that must have been very difficult for all of you, particularly being in that setting, going, oh, my God, you know, who is this?
Yes.
I'm not in a very good place. That would be like in the Amityville Horror House and having something like that happen where you're like, oh, my God.
I know. I mean, not that I think, like, the spirit is going to do, you know, like, the movies will always show the worst-case scenario. You know, even when you look at these paranormal, you know, investigator shows. I mean, my favorite was Most Haunted. I love that one. That was something from Britain.
Yes.
And One Step Beyond, you know, an earlier, you know, type of paranormal show. But, you know, what they always do now is they go into a home, a private property, looking for ways to trigger a spirit to make itself known. You know, and I can't stand the way they think, like, they're always, like, trying to show some means of confirmation that spirits exist. So they'll do anything to open up, like, this vortex, if they have to make something happen, you know, to have a spirit come out of nowhere, or, you know, I hate that, you know.
And what would be really, well, funny in an ironic kind of way would be if they did open some kind of portal and
seeing
the consequences of their actions, it would be like, see, you shouldn't play with dead things. Not a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Because even if you're not, you know, you're not thinking in terms of that demons exist, there are beings, unfortunately, that do have a negative effect, a negative energy that they've created by the fact that they are always in a negative thinking process. They're all, you know, there may be people who have been, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I didn't mean to.
No, I was like saying that you know, if you go to some of these old hospitals, if you, you know, happen to come across any that aren't in ruins anymore, but a lot of these places were residences for people with tuberculosis, people dying, people who might have been insane, going insane, because hell knows they didn't help anybody in those days when people had psychological problems. You know, and they put them they put them in worse environments that made it even worse for them to live. So when they moved over to, you know, transitioned, I'm sure a lot of them just weren't aware of transitioning properly and going and finally leaving their, you know, their bodies. Coming down to the close of the go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to say something real quick. And when you consider the fact that we only use about 10% of our brain in this shell that we're using, it's interesting to think about how much energy do we actually have that's being suppressed by this human shell that may be released when we're released from this body. So if that was used for negative, wow.
Yes, exactly. So I want to thank you both for calling on the show today. And just to sum up for what we were speaking about today, spirit is our natural form with or without the body. So the consciousness and the eternal essence of that entity, I feel that the word ghost was more of a marketing tool to help create excitement and fear in the minds of the viewers and TV viewers and book readers. Both ghosts and spirits are also used interchangeably depending on the need and the reason for it. And when you're fortunate to have the ability to see a ghost, you're merely seeing spirits. So it's one and the same. One way or the other, it comes down to this. When we are not housed in our physical form, we are only spiritual energy that never dies, never fizzles out, not subject to the human laws and restrictions and can go and do whatever the heck we want. You know, free will, you remember that one? So thank you all for joining us on this evening of Hidden Mysteries. And don't forget to mark us as your favorite so that you continue to receive notifications of upcoming shows. And visit us on facebook.com/mquestmedia. And there you can send either comments or suggestions for upcoming shows. So have a nice night, and thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time on Hidden Mysteries.